Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, May 31st, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, A Source of Community Pride. It's from the Parkland College Foundation. Art Mart owners honored as 2026 Entrepreneurs of the Year. This article is by Jana Wersima, Champaign. In 1962, Linda Davis Ballard began working as a clerk at Art Mart, a campus town shop that sold items such as household goods, toys, and textiles. By her own admission, she knew nothing about retail when she first began. That would soon change, with Ballard becoming co-owner of the business in 1964. A role she still holds more than 60 years later, alongside daughter and co-owner Courtney McKay. We did not have a business plan, said Ballard, who turns 88 this year. We just sort of did it. But we had the work ethic and we had the vision, said her daughter, 57. The business, which has gone through a number of evolutions over the years, currently includes a cafe, deli, bakery, and wine department, alongside toys, clothing, personal care items, housewares, and specialty foods, Ballard said. Jane DeLuce, president and CEO of Experience Champaign-Urbana, and longtime local resident, said Art Mart feels homey, like you could always find that unique gift that you wanted to give somebody. I just love the fact that they're a destination for residents and visitors, she said, and they're a source of community pride. DeLuce isn't the only one who feels that way. Ballard and McKay have been named the 2026 Entrepreneurs of the Year by the Parkland College Foundation, with college officials saying that the two women have made Art Mart into a lasting symbol of creativity and connection in Champaign-Urbana. The mother and daughter duo will be honored at a banquet Wednesday evening at the I Hotel and Conference Center. The event is presented by Cozad Asset Management and serves as an annual fundraiser for the Parkland College Entrepreneurial Network, which provides scholarships for students who could become business leaders one day. They put their head down and work hard, DeLuce said of Ballard and McKay. They don't take no for an answer, and they listen to their customers. According to Parkland officials, Art Mart is believed to be the oldest female-owned business in the county and the one of the longest standing in the state. Coolest shop in campus town? Jan Marshall Fox originally opened Art Mart in 1958 at the corner of First and Healy Streets in Champaign, Ballard said. At the time, it was an art gallery showcasing pieces by faculty at the University of Illinois School of Art and Design. Art Mart moved to Green Street a few years later, and it was at this location that Ballard first joined the business as an employee. It was located on one side of the first floor of a student apartment building, and there was a coffee house on the other side, she recalled. At that time, the merchandise changed to design-based housewares, toys, textiles, etc. Fox, who knew Ballard's sister, Carol Ann Hurt, said that Ballard could work at the shop and eventually buy the business alongside her sister. After the deal went through, the two sisters moved the shop one block over to a space at 614 East Green Street that was connected to the Coed Theater, Ballard said. The location had two stories, enabling Art Mart to expand all categories of merchandise and add fabric from Finnish company Marimekko, along with a yarn and needlework department. We added a lot of student-based merchandise, like bedspreads and posters, Ballard said. A lot of things of the era, like mood rings and the candles, the colored candles, McKay said, adding that paper dresses could also be found at the Green Street store. Jane Murray was an employee at Art Mart in the late 1970s during her college years and remembers it as the coolest shop in Campustown. It was just really a family atmosphere, she said, and I think even though they've grown, they still have that. Art Mart remained on campus until the business was offered a 3,000 square foot space at Urbana's Lincoln Square Mall in 1978, Ballard said. 3 years later, an empty space next to their mall location became Art Mart Foods. The business further branched out in the early 1990s, opening Art Mart Toys in space north of the store. New generation. When Hurt and her husband Bob decided to retire from the business in 2007, Ballard bought her sister's portion of Art Mart. It was also at this time that McKay and her husband Brian joined the business. Prior to this, McKay had earned a degree in hotel management, managed a restaurant in Chicago, worked at a Ritz-Carlton hotel in Colorado, and opened her own local clothing store as well as a bakery. Linda couldn't do it on her own, McKay said of her decision to join Art Mart. That's too big of a thing. And Brian, my husband, was working at Prairie Gardens. I had a clothing store, and my sister-in-law, Kathy Stickles, back here, she had a daycare in her house. The group came to the conclusion that if they wanted to keep Art Mart open, they'd all need to pitch in. Stickles took over the toys and bookkeeping, while McKay focused on the kitchenware, and her husband took care of scheduling, staffing, and the deli. He did all the things that happen every day, Ballard said. Making the move. Art Mart has been at its current location, 1705, South Prospect Avenue in Champaign, since 2016. The building had previously been Carter's Furniture and was an ideal format for the various divisions of our business, Ballard said. With the extra space, Courtney was able to move her clothing store, Jennifer North, into one of the sections. Ballard owns the Art Mart Business Corporation, while the McKays own the building and property. They employ about 50 people. We're grateful that we can be together, Ballard said. It's fun. Ballard's mother ran a catering company, so working alongside family was nothing new for her or McKay, who has memories of pitching in at weddings, proms, and 4th of July parties. We might not always see eye to eye, McKay said. I might do a display and she might come in the next day and be like, who did this awful display? Nobody storms off, Ballard said with a chuckle, adding that they each have parts of the business that they focus on. Her areas include grocery buying, merchandising, and marketing, while McKay's work includes the financial side, kitchen, clothing, and buying. Ballard added that there's also some overlap in certain areas. Beyond just being niche, Deleuze attributed the business longevity to the care its owners put into it. It really is attention to detail, she said. It's going beyond just being niche. It's attention to the customers. They really do know the people that go in there. She added that Ballard and McKay seem to know what people want before maybe they even know they want it. I think it's the loyalty of the clientele. People try to support the store. I try to support it when I'm here, said Murray, who lives in Dallas but comes back to Fisher during the summer. And again, they've always had interesting things that you don't find other places. When we would go to markets and things, we bought what we would like and what was not available, and what we felt people in Champaign should be able to buy, Ballard said. The grocery stores at the time, they didn't carry the specialty items that you were seeing on the Food Network, like goat cheese or sun-dried tomatoes, which are now, you know, everyday items at the grocery store, McKay said. But so we figured out how to bring those into the store. I wasn't working at the store at the time, but they went to the food shows in New York and figured out a way. Like any small business, Art Mart had to adapt during the pandemic and afterward, as its owners grappled with new buying trends. We weren't going to gift shows because those were closed, so everything pretty much became on one platform, or a couple of platforms on the internet, McKay said. Like there's a buying platform called Fair, and that's where a lot of people that were at these shows that you would go to now go on there. Well, your algorithm's always the same, so you start seeing every store kind of has the same buy. It was monotonous, she said. McKay became determined to find new items before they were available on buying platforms. As part of this quest, she and Stickles attended a Christmas show in Germany 2 years ago, where they found items such as handmade ornaments and German cookie cutters. We were like, we can figure out how to import these ourselves, McKay said. Courtney has taken the store up numbers of levels, Ballard said. In McKay's opinion, her mother's strengths include her continual excitement for the next new thing. I think she looks forward to coming in every day and interacting with customers, McKay said. It's hard to come to a job every day where you have to talk to 100 people at a minimum, and I think that she never gets tired of that. A source of inspiration. They're just great people, Murray said of Ballard and McKay. They're just salt of the earth, interesting, sophisticated. I learned a lot from them. She added that working at Art Mart was the beginning of her own long-running career in the retail and wholesale industry. I became an entrepreneur, so I guess I could credit them for part of that, she said. Ballard and McKay have also done some philanthropic work, including recently donating 10% of Art Mart sales on February 5th, the 10th anniversary of the Prospect Avenue location, to Champaign-Urbana Special Recreation. McKay's son, Davis, is among those who benefit from its programming, including Special Olympics activities. According to program manager Christina Mott, the store's donation totaled $2,000, which was directed to the agency's scholarship fund for participants in need of financial aid. Art Mart has always been very generous with their support for CUSR and the Champaign Park District, Mott added. It's so great when we hear positive comments about us in the community, and the owners are definitely super positive and kind when they talk about our programs to others. When you give back to the community also gives back to you, McKay said. Ballard reflected that Art Mart might not have thrived if located in another community. There's just a lot of places we couldn't do this store, she said, but I think Champaign-Urbana's unique. And continuing with Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. When a storm damaged the flagpole outside the high school of St. Thomas More, both staff and students were quick to respond. That included 15-year-old Sam Horn, charged with raising and lowering Old Glory on school days. It's like disrespect to our country if the flag is in bad shape, he said. We are supposed to keep it in good shape out of respect to our country. I've always known that since Cub Scouts. The son of Mary Horn, STM's director of student success, Sam is the school's flag watchdog. His duties include letting the principal, Sister Bridget Martin, know when it should be flown at half staff and when it needs repairs. I raise the flag when I arrive to school with my mom in the morning, he said. She gets there early because she opens the school every day. I lower the flag when I leave for my sports after school. nominated by Bonnie Specchio, STM is May's recipient of Champaign American Legion Post 24's monthly award for proper display of the American flag. Sam, a rising junior, is to be commended. Have a flag display to nominate? Reach out to Post 24's Chuck Zielinski at 217-356-5114 or email al24champaign@gmail.com. June's winner will be announced during Ann Roten's Standard Time program on WDWS 1400 AM 93.9 FM. Tune in at 7:15 AM on June 7th. And history. Area history. In 1926, John Bruder resigned yesterday as Deputy Sheriff of Champaign County, effective immediately. Sheriff John Gray accepted the resignation and denied rumors of friction in the office, saying that Bruder was offered a good position which he is not at liberty to discuss. Bruder has earned much community respect as deputy sheriff and in earlier positions with Urbana's fire department and police department. In 1976, the Army Corps of Engineers proposed Oakley Dam project has gone dormant, but conservationists warn it is not dead. The 1967 version of the flood control project plan would have permanently flooded 600 acres of Allerton Park and periodically flooded 600 more. Area conservationists and key Illinois politicians seem to be winning the battle to kill the proposal for good. In 2011, they entered the world nearly simultaneously, and now they are moving on to their adult lives together. Five family members, triplets Glenn, Luke, and Elizabeth Davis, and their cousins, sisters Kaylee and Mackenzie Kirby, walked the stage and received their diplomas at Urbana High School's graduation. They say they've treasured seeing family members in the school's hallway every day, and the unique bond among them that is different from their connections with friends. International history. Today's highlight. On May 30th, 2024, Donald Trump became the first former American president to be convicted of felony crimes, as a New York jury found him guilty of all 34 charges in a scheme to illegally influence the 2016 election through a hush money payment to a porn actor who said the two had sex. Trump received a no penalty sentence or unconditional discharge just 10 days before his January 2025 inauguration to a second term. And continuing with our communities, Capital News Illinois article titled, "For Illinois Farmers, Food-grade soybeans remain a hard sell." This is by Tara Sun and Metal Illinois News Bureau. Chicago. Inside a factory on Chicago's north side, the smell of simmering soybeans drifts through the air. On a typical day, I use about 4,000 pounds of dry beans, Jenny Yang said. She and her team grind, cook, and press thousands of pounds of soybeans into silky tofu and rich soy milk. The taste of home for Yang and for many who grew up with tofu on the table. She still makes it the same way, no preservatives, made mostly by hand, said Bob Lum, a longtime friend of Yang who helps with the business. Her company, Phoenix Bean, has been making tofu and soy milk this way since she bought it in 2006. It is one of the few businesses in the state that uses Illinois food-grade, non-GMO, non-genetically modified organism, soybeans sourced directly from local farms like Janie's Mill in Ashcombe. I know them since back in the day, like at least 10, 15 years, Yang said. This is a good, very good partnership. Illinois grows more soybeans than any other state, harvesting more than 639 million bushels in 2025, well ahead of Iowa's 595 million bushels and Minnesota's 371 million bushels. Lawmakers designated the soybean as the official state bean in 2025, effective January 1, 2026, with State Senator Doris Turner, Democrat Springfield, who chairs the Senate Agriculture Committee, calling Decatur the soybean capital of the world. But almost none of those millions of bushels end up as food on Illinois plates, according to the Illinois Soybean Association. 60% of soybeans grown in the state are exported. Most of the remaining 40% are processed as animal feed, leaving the state reliant on imports for its soy food. 95% of food consumed in the state of Illinois is imported, said State Representative Sonia Harper, Democrat Chicago, chair of the House Agriculture and Conservation Committee. Speaking of Illinois food crops, if there were any type of natural disaster, Illinois only has enough food that will last us for 3 days. Harper said more effort and massive investment are needed. She sponsored the Local Food Infrastructure Grant Program, which provides local farmers with small grants for processing, storage, and distribution. She worked closely with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, a policy advocate for local food and farm communities, to build legislative momentum. We have some of the best soil, the best farmland, Harper said, no matter where you are, urban, suburban, and rural. We need to be producing more food in the state. She described local food production as a win-win that will help create jobs and generate revenue. And from the Rantoul police, Rantoul man arrested for sexual assault, by Lou Taylor, Rantoul. A Rantoul City School District bus driver has been arrested on charges of predatory criminal sexual assault. Johnny C. McClendon, Jr., 35, of Rantoul, was arrested at around 6 p.m. Thursday by Rantoul police officers. The arrest followed an investigation the department conducted, and McClendon was taken into custody without incident. He is being held at the Champaign County Jail pending court proceedings. McClendon is an employee of First Student Incorporated, which provides transportation services for the school district. However, Rantoul police say they have received no allegations of misconduct related to his employment, and the investigation appears to involve matters unrelated to his position at First Student. Police also said that no additional information will be released at this time due to the sensitive nature of the case. Anyone with further information is encouraged to reach out to Rantoul Police at 217-892-2103 or submit a tip with the Champaign County Crime Stoppers. Information submitted to Crime Stoppers is completely anonymous. Calls are routed to a third-party national call center that receives the information, completes a form, then passes the tip to the appropriate law enforcement agency. Caller ID tracking is not used and conversations are not recorded. And from the Champaign County Court, suspect in fatal I-5774 construction zone crash released pending trial. This is by Luke Taylor, Urbana. A Tennessee man charged with reckless homicide in a fatal Wednesday morning crash near the Interstate 5774 interchange will not be held in jail while he awaits the resolution of his case. Quamain Fletcher, 29, was arrested Wednesday after the pickup truck he was driving struck a construction worker, later identified as retired Tilton Police Chief Stephen A. Cornett, 65, of Danville. Illinois state troopers responded around 3:35 a.m. that morning to eastbound I-74 at milepost 179 near the interchange in Champaign for a report of a traffic crash in a construction zone. According to the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office, Fletcher told authorities that he had been driving at 65 miles per hour, which is 20 miles per hour over the limit in the work zone. He said he was reaching for his cell phone, which had fallen down, and began to veer off the road, then overcorrected, causing him to strike Mr. Cornett. State police said Fletcher was also injured and was initially taken from the scene to a hospital, then taken into custody after being treated and released. Mr. Cornett was working with Dan Rib Trucking at the time. Fletcher first appeared in court for arraignment Thursday and was held overnight for a hearing on the state's petition for pretrial detention Friday morning. At that hearing, Champaign County Judge Brett Olmstead denied the petition and Fletcher was released with conditions. Continuing with Kathy's mailbag, why was the Gifford Community Celebration canceled this year? On May 17th, the Planning Committee posted on the Gifford Community Celebration Facebook page that after much consideration, the committee has decided that we are going to hold off on having the Gifford Celebration this year. We are sorry, as we know we all look forward to it each year. Upon planning, we had some conflicts arise and did not feel we could give you the celebration we all know and love. Please don't worry, though. This is certainly not the end. We will see you in 2027. The annual celebration is planned and run by volunteer committee members, said Gifford Village President Adam Panbacker. Just three committee members do most of the coordination and planning. The Community Celebration Committee tells me that there is a celebration planned for next year, Panbacker said. It typically is in late June. Last year, to commemorate the 150th anniversary of the village's founding, a special Gifford Sesquicentennial celebration was held in mid-July. Gifford State Bank is one of the event's longtime sponsors, and some community members have asked if that recent sale of that bank to Fountain Trust Bank had anything to do with the cancellation of this year's celebration. Logan Hesterberg, committee volunteer, who also is a bank employee, said the change of ownership had absolutely nothing to do with this year's cancellation. She said someone from the bank has always been on the planning committee and Fountain Trust Management has pledged their full support for future community celebrations. It was just timing with scheduling things, Hesterberg said. After the big push for last July's special 150th celebration, we just wanted to take the year off and come back next year fresh as committee members. We didn't feel like this year we could give the full celebration that people are used to. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, May 31st, 2026. Please stay tuned.